There was not much of a view from the window. The central feature was the garbage cans behind the dining hall. The closed windows shut out neither the tremendous crash and clatter of early morning collections, nor the noisome effluvium of the day's cooking. Nevertheless, I was tickled pink to have that little room. It was a single one. What I had been wanting and finally got when I was a senior in college. It had a bed, a bureau, a bookcase, and in the corner by the window, a desk with a straight chair and a lamp. A place for solitude and silence, a closet of the sort Jesus said we should go into to pray. I did my studying and some of my praying at the desk. There were maple trees and an old elm behind the garbage cans, and I was often distracted by the crowd, the flock, the skitter, of squirrels that lived there. I watched them getting ready for winter, tearing up and down, frantically transporting provisions, scolding, chattering, flicking their tails. I watched the maple leaves change color and fall, watched the rain paste them to the black driveway. I watched snow fall on those trees and cans. It isn't hard at all to put myself back in the chair at that desk. When I sit at a different desk now and read letters from puzzled young people, I become that girl again who gazed out at the snow. What I wore was not very different from what they wear now. Styles easily come full circle in 35 years. I had 2 skirts, 3 sweaters, and a few blouses, which I did my best to mix and match so that it looked as though I was wearing different outfits. Wednesdays were easy. Everybody in the senior class wore the same blue wool blazer with a college emblem sewn over the breast pocket. My hair gave me an awful time. It was blonde, hadn't a hint of a bend in it, and grew about 1 inch a month. How easy it would have been to wear it hanging long and straight, but that was unthinkable then. My curls were all a put-up job. I could afford only 1 permanent a year. In between times, I relied on the old pin curl system, twirling strands of hair around my finger every night before I went to bed, securing them with a bobby pin. If I couldn't do much with my hair, I could do less with my face. Like most girls, I wished I were pretty. But it seemed futile to tamper much with what I had been given, beyond using a cautious touch of pale lipstick, something called Tangi, which cost 10 cents, and a pat of powder on my nose. I needed that tiny cozy room that year, perhaps more than ever before. Some issues that would set the sail of my life were to be dealt with. During the preceding summer, I had finished praying about whether or not I was to be a missionary. I was. After what my Plymouth Brethren friends would call an exercise and what people now would call a struggle, it was clear at last. The struggle was not over any unwillingness to cross an ocean or live under a thatched roof, but over whether this was my idea or God's, and whether I was meant to be a surgeon. I loved dissecting things, or a linguist. I came to the conclusion it was God who called, and the call was to linguistics. I asked for assurance from the Lord and got it. So that was that. But there was another matter of business not by any means finished. That was the one for which God knew I would need a closet. It was about being alone for the rest of my life. I was saying, me, Lord? Single? It seemed to come up between me and my Greek textbooks when I sat at the desk, between me and my Bible when I tried to hear God speaking. It was an obstruction to my prayers and the subject of recurrent dreams. I talked often about this to God. I don't remember mentioning it to anybody else for many months. The 2 who shared the suite of which my room was 1/3 were not the wildly popular sort of whom I would have been envious. They were quiet, sensible girls, a few years older than I. One a music major, who spent most of her time practicing the organ in the conservatory. The other a former WAVE, the women's branch of the Navy.